Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome home. This is Deanna, and we want to thank you for being a part of the Life Together podcast. Before we get into this week's teaching with Pastor Tom, we want you to know that you matter to God and you matter to us. Life Together is a Wednesday evening gathering for worship, Bible study, and community at Oak Creek Assembly of God here in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. We pray that this week's message is life-giving, encouraging, challenging, and possibly even life-changing.
So tonight we're talking about something that touches every person on the planet. We're talking about something that touches every person on the planet. People of every age, from infancy all the way to the last day of life, this side of eternity. Every person on this planet, we all have something to complain about. In fact, this afternoon, there was a young family in my office, and they had a three-month-old infant with them. And this baby, after a meeting for about an hour, the baby started to cry. Why? The baby is hungry and is complaining, "Mom, it's time to eat." We complain about the weather. We complain about politics. We complain about our job. We complain about our spouse, except I don't ever complain about mine. She said there's nothing to complain about. I know also this is none of you in this room, but some people at other places, they sometimes complain about their church. So people can find something to complain about. And let me just give this concept out to you. The source of a complaint is when the actual is less than the expected. The source of a complaint is when the actual is less than the expected. So you're out to dinner with your friends, and the food comes, and you place your order based on the description of what was in the menu. Maybe there was even a picture of what you thought you would get, and what is presented in front of you is completely different from what you expected. The actual is less than what's expected. And then in that moment, you have a decision to make. Are you, first of all, maybe you already have that complaint in your heart, and then you have to make the decision, am I going to voice this complaint, first of all, to the people at my table, and then am I going to take it a step further and voice this complaint to the server or to the manager? Some of us would just say, I'm just going to deal with this, and I don't want to disrupt the whole flow of the evening, so I'll just eat what's in front of me, and I won't complain. The source of a complaint, though, we get this concept, is when what's actual is less than what is expected. And how about this? Frustration festers when our complaints are unresolved. Festers, I love that. I love that word. Fester is a word that they might use in the medical community to talk about a wound, right? If a wound goes untreated, it begins to fester. It becomes more and more contaminated, and it has greater and greater negative consequences on the body if the wound is allowed to fester. Fester means that it becomes worse and worse over time. Well, if we have a complaint that goes unresolved, a frustration sets in. Frustration festers when our complaints are unresolved. So here is my goal for us tonight. And I think this is actually a good goal, no matter what your spiritual condition is tonight, whether you're a Christian, not a Christian, no matter where you are on your faith journey, I think this is something that we can all jump on board with. I want you to find resolution for your complaints. Whatever it is that's your complaint tonight, and maybe your list would be long, whatever it is that you would say is on your complaint list tonight, I want you to find resolution for that complaint. Is that a good goal for us? It's a good goal. And then for those of us tonight who would say that we are a follower of Christ or we're exploring a relationship with our Heavenly Father through Christ, I want us to see that complaining can actually be a good thing that draws us closer to our Heavenly Father. Complaining can actually be a good thing that draws us closer to our Heavenly Father. And there may be some of us in this room who hear that and we push back from that, and it doesn't seem like that's possible. It feels like the word complaining would be always, or the act of complaining would always be against God. But I'm going to show you tonight that that is not the case. And I want to show you this through the life of a very famous person. He's famous in the Bible, but actually he's famous in all of world history. I want to show you how this well-known man dealt with a complaint. And when you see what he was complaining about, you would say, man, I would complain about that too. I want to show you how he deals with his complaint in a way that honors our Heavenly Father and in a way that has the potential and the power to draw us closer to God. We encourage everyone to be in the Word every day. Pastoral staff here at Oak Creek Assembly of God, we do the reading plan at oneyearbibleonline.com. Every day, if you follow along with us, we do some portions of the Old Testament, we do a psalm, we do a proverb, and we do a reading from the New Testament. And if you do this with us, you read through the entire Bible in 1 year. And also, if you're following along with us, then you will have already read what we're going to talk about tonight. So tonight's reading, Psalm 142, tonight's scripture, Psalm 142, was from the reading on June 24th, which I believe was Monday. This comes to us, so as you're turning to your Bible in Psalm 142, this is very close to the center of your Bible, there is a headline there, there's a title for the psalm, and that's part of the original inspired text that wasn't thrown in later by the organizers of the Bible. Does yours have a title there? What does it say? Does it say something like a maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer? A maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. So from that, we see that this is a psalm. This is a psalm that was written by David. All right, quick just recap or quick understanding of where David is at this point in his life. So David was the last born son of a farmer. David was the last born son of a farmer, and in that time in history, birth order was very, very important. And it certainly was a good thing in most families to be the firstborn, and there wasn't a whole lot desirable about being the last born. So David is the last born son, yet this prophet comes to David's home and says to David's dad, Jesse, your son David is going to be the king. Your son David is going to be the king. And then as David is a boy on the verge of manhood, he's called to the front lines of battle where his brothers are fighting. And he goes there just to see his brothers, but David ends up getting sent out to the front lines without any armor to do what the army could not do, and that is to face Goliath. And David, wearing no armor, he topples Goliath. This is the David we're talking about. And then after that, David went on to serve in King Saul's army, and he rose up to become one of great authority, one of great influence. He was the leader of the military, and he had many great military victories. As David is serving Saul, this relationship where Saul had helped to raise up David, Saul begins to change his attitude. And what's Saul's attitude towards David? What are some words that you would use to describe King Saul's attitude towards David? He becomes what? Jealous. He becomes angry. He becomes hostile. And if someone is angry, hostile, and jealous, and they have at their disposal a very powerful military, you do not want them against you. So here's David. He has been told that he is going to be king. Yet out of his jealousy, King Saul begins to pursue David and wants David dead. And so here David is, as we see in the title of this psalm, hiding out in a cave. He's been told that he is going to be the king. Yet he finds himself a hunted man, perhaps believing, at least at times, that his days this side of eternity are numbered because he is up against the king and the king's army. So here, let's pick this up. This psalm, we're going to end up reading the whole thing tonight, but it's only seven verses. And David here gives us a godly model for complaining. So watch where David starts this off and watch where he directs his complaint. It says, a maskil of David, when he was in the cave, a prayer. And that word maskil, it is a musical term. And perhaps even in your Bible, there's a footnote that will help you to understand what that word means. Psalm 142, verses 1 and 2. David says, with my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. David is in a cave. He's gone from great fame, leadership, influence, a person who's celebrated wherever he goes, to hiding in a cave and fearing for his life. And David says, and he doesn't just think it, the word voice is used twice in this verse. There's something that is powerful about verbalizing what's on our mind when talking to our Heavenly Father. Yes, there's a time for silent prayer. There's a time for meditation. There's time for contemplation and just waiting to receive, waiting to hear from God in silence. And also there is a power in speaking. And here David uses the word voice like audible noise. With my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. So who does David direct his complaint to? God. Some of us, or all of us at times, we are directing our complaints to the wrong person. We are complaining to our spouse, our parents, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers. We are bringing them complaints that they are not equipped to handle. We are bringing to those people, we are bringing complaints to the stranger who takes our order at the coffee shop. We are bringing them complaints that God wants us to bring to him. In fact, sometimes it's not even directed at one person. We're not just pouring it out to a person or a couple of people. We are blasting it on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. I want the world to know what I'm complaining about. It may be a good idea for you to circle Psalm 142, verse 1 in your Bible, or perhaps highlight it if you use the YouVersion app, or maybe take a picture of the screen with your phone, and you possibly may want to even add in a fill-in-the-blank to this verse. So it would read something like this: with my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint about fill-in-the-blank to you, Father. I tell my trouble to you. I pour out my complaint about my relationships. I pour out my complaint about my workplace. I pour out my complaint about the morality of this country. I pour out my complaint about politics. I pour out my complaint about my neighbors. I pour out my complaint about the weather to you, Father. I tell my trouble to you. And what David lays out in bringing this complaint to God in the next few verses may echo what you're feeling tonight in some area of your life. Now, I actually believe this for every time we get together. Every time we get together, whether it's in here, whether we're in the sanctuary, or if you're part of another church and you're visiting tonight, whatever that may be, whenever we gather together to study God's word, I believe that the Holy Spirit has something to say to each and every one of us. There's a reason we're here. God's word is alive and active, and it's ready to speak to each and every one of us. And then also each week, and this week included, I believe that there's maybe a handful, maybe it's even just one, that this is a turning point message. And there's times, if you've been around for a while, you know this, there's times it feels like the message is prepared just for you. And I believe that tonight, there's something here for all of us. In addition to that, I believe that there are parts of this, that there's going to be someone in this room, and you are going to feel tonight like this is just for you based on something that is going on in your life. Look at verse 3. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Father, when I'm overwhelmed, you know the way that I should turn. Your Father in heaven knows what you're feeling. When no one else gets it, God knows. And God knows your way. God knows your way. And what that means is that God actually, he knows where you are. Not just physically, he knows where you are emotionally. He knows where you are spiritually. He knows where you are tonight. And not only does he know where you are tonight, he knows how you got there. God knows the mess that you're in tonight. And he knows what portions of that mess you're responsible for. And he also knows what portions of that mess just found you out of no control of your own. God knows. Maybe you feel like this. Wherever you go, it seems like there's a trap. There's a danger. And what I mean by that, it's like there's something you're complaining about. There's something where the actual is not what you expected. You're saying tonight, my relationships with my kids are not what I thought they would be. Where I am in my career tonight, it's not where I thought I would be. Where I find myself in relationship with my husband, wife, or ex-husband, ex-wife, where I find myself tonight, this is not where I thought I would be. The actual is so far from the expected. And no matter what you've tried, nothing seems to work. In fact, maybe even this. The harder you try, the more avenues, the more paths you attempt, instead of even getting marginally better, if you're actually to look at the situation, it may feel like it's getting worse. Verse 4. Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains in me. No one cares for my soul. Check this out. Look to the right and see. There's no one who takes notice of me. Picture you're going on a walk through your neighborhood now that we're having some warmer Wisconsin summer weather, or you're going for a walk down along the beach in Bradford Beach or through downtown Milwaukee or somewhere. You're going for a walk. And you look to your right. That's where like a friend would walk, right? A mate, a son, a daughter, a parent. Maybe if you're close, maybe you hold hands with them. Well, what David feels is he looks to the right. And where there should be a friend, there's no one. There's no one. Maybe you feel like that tonight. There's a place where there maybe was someone in the past, but they're not there, and it feels like they should be there. I look to the place where there should be someone, and there's no one. And it feels like there should be someone there with you that you can pour out to, that you can lay this out upon, and there's no one there. And David even uses this phrase, no one cares for my soul. And so often when we see that two-word phrase, my soul, we can just shorten it to the word me. No one cares for me. And maybe that echoes something that is in your heart tonight. It feels like there should be someone walking this journey with you. And maybe you've tried to tell somebody about what you're going through and no one seems to get it. In fact, maybe you have actually even said these words out loud. No one cares. No one cares. Well, part of the deal is, it may feel like that because everyone else has got all their own personal list of complaints And when we're all trying to deal with our own list of complaints, it's really hard to be worried about someone else's. Verse 5. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of living. Here's where the psalm begins to turn. David says, because there is this disconnect between the actual and the expectation, Father, I am crying out to you. In a world that feels unsafe, Father, you are my refuge. You are my safe place. When no one else is there, when no one else gets it, you are there. And we know this word portion. If you've ever been on a diet or you're on a diet tonight, you're trying to lose some LBs, you know the word portion. And sometimes, a portion is what you receive, and sometimes we self-determine portion. Maybe you've been on a diet like this where they tell you that what you need to do to lose some weight is to limit your portion size. You need to limit your portion size. So there's times when we self-determine our portion, but most often when it comes to how much we earn in our job, when they're dividing up the cake on somebody's birthday, someone else is determining our portion size. Someone else is cutting the cake. And you see the pieces being passed out, and you recognize that your portion is not as big as that guy's portion. And maybe this is a time to complain. His portion is bigger than mine. Her portion is bigger than mine. And some of us have wasted way too much of our life complaining about someone else's portion size. And I'm not talking about cake anymore. Well, David, he resets his focus. He resets how he's viewing everything. And the encouragement is for us tonight to also to reset our focus. You know, Carrie Job, she has this worship song called Healer. And if you know the song, you know these lyrics. And I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you are all I need. Verse 6. Attend to my cry. For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Okay, maybe you just daydreamed for a couple minutes. Just reset here. Who wrote this? David. Isn't it remarkable that David is writing this? He is the one who was the military champion. He is the one that experienced victory after victory after victory. He was like the captain. He was like the coach of the undefeated team. Yet he says, I feel low. And maybe this echoes how you have felt at some point in your past, or maybe it echoes how you feel tonight. You would say that in my past, I have experienced some incredible victories. Yet now, because of circumstances inside or outside of your control, tonight you feel very low. You feel very low. And David says, rescue me from those who are hunting me down. I'm no match for them. This is the guy who defeated Goliath with a handful of pebbles. And now he's looking at those who want to take him down, and he says, they're too strong for me. They're too strong for me. And perhaps tonight you're saying, I'm facing these challenges and I cannot fight them alone. And of course, the good news is that you don't have to fight them alone. And tonight may be the night that you personally declare, I'm not going to keep trying to do this on my own. Tonight is the night that I'm going to face. I'm no longer going to keep trying to face this, trying to do it by myself, because maybe tonight is the night that you're realizing that if you keep trying to fight this battle on your own, it eventually is going to ruin you. Verse 7. Bring me out of this prison. Bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Bountifully means more than I could ever take in, more than I could ever expect. For David, this cave felt like a prison. He was trapped. The man who ruled over armies, the man who, if he didn't have it, he could take it by force. Now David feels like he is in a prison. Don't miss this. When David brings his complaint to God, his complaint here turns to confidence. David's complaint turns to confidence. It's a confidence that people who stand with God, he will stand with them. Father, because you're on the throne and you're personally handling my complaint, I will no longer be surrounded by people who are against him, and instead will be surrounded by people who are for him. If you've been in a customer service situation where things didn't go quite right, anyone been there? You know, something that I love about this era in history that we live with is there's this great equalizer where we can post our complaints on Google reviews and all those things, where it used to be that companies could just ignore the complaints, but now because the consumer has such a great voice, they can't really ignore them like they used to. Well, anyway, if we have a complaint against an organization, how impressive is it to us if the manager or the owner of the company, the one who has the great amount of authority, the one who has the great amount of influence, the one who can hand out the comp certificates, the one who can give you the upgrade, if that person comes to you and says, you know what? I've heard what went wrong. I've heard you had a complaint. And this is what I want you to know. I'm personally on the job. I'm not passing it off to somebody else on my staff. I'm going to personally handle your complaint. Do you know that you and I, we have a direct line to our Heavenly Father? Our Heavenly Father, when we call out in the name of Jesus to him, he stands ready to personally listen to us. So if we follow the model of David, if we have a complaint and we bring it to our Heavenly Father, it's like our Heavenly Father is saying back to us, I'm going to personally take care of this. I'm personally on the job. I've heard about what you're going through. In fact, I knew about it before you even spoke it. And I'm already personally working on this on your behalf. Now, we don't know for sure when David wrote this, but the evidence points to that David writing this when he was going through this event that's recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. And it says this: David departed from there and escaped to the cave from Adullam. This is David on the run from Saul. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard of it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him, and he became commander over them. And there were with him about 400 men. So perhaps when David wrote Psalm 142, perhaps when he wrote that, he already began to realize that this crowd that began to surround him, people who had some problems of their own, there was some debt, there was some danger, there was some discontentment, but maybe David was beginning to see these people who were coming around him, that they would be the ones who would help to elevate him to his kingdom. Here's the basic idea. No one is in better position to bring resolution to your complaint than your Heavenly Father. No one is in a better position to bring resolution to your complaint than your Heavenly Father. And you know what? There's a good chance, like Pastor talked about in his prayer tonight, there are times when we need to be around people, right? We need to see the gospel lived out with skin on it. So there's a good chance as God brings resolution, he's going to use people to help resolve that complaint. but he is the one that is ultimately personally handling it. We can expend way too much energy and emotion spilling our complaints, gossiping our complaints to people who have no ability to bring a resolution. As we land this plane tonight, I want to read to you just a couple short things that other pastors wrote about this concept of complaining to God. Complaining to God shows that we realize who God is, and we come to him and pour out our hearts before him. And then we trust him to act and to work, possibly by resolving the situation, or get this, by giving us the grace to stand amidst the difficulty. There's a difference between complaining to God and complaining about God. Complaining to God draws us closer to him. Complaining about God pushes us farther from him. The Bible often refers to faithless complaining, as grumbling, and warns us not to do that. Grumbling complaints, directly or indirectly, declare that God is not sufficiently good, faithful, loving, wise, powerful, or competent. Otherwise, he would treat us better or run the universe more effectively. Faithless complaining is sinful because it accuses God of doing wrong. But, when Pastor talks about that word, B-U-T, he talks about that word, B-U-T, as being a canceling word, canceling out what came before it. Faithful complaining does not impugn God with wrong. Rather, it is an honest, groaning expression of what it's like to experience the trouble, anguish, and grief of living in this fallen, futile world. God does not mind this kind of complaining. In fact, he encourages it, and he teaches us how to do it in the Bible with Psalm 142. So my encouragement tonight to you is this. Tell God. Tell it like it is. There's no need to sugarcoat it. I hope this is one of the most freeing things you have ever heard. Pour it out to God. Pour it out to God. Whatever in your life feels like the actual is so much less than the expectation, whatever in your life where you feel like this is not what I signed up for, this is not how things should be, pour it out to God. You're not limited by time. As long as it takes, pour it out to your Heavenly Father. And then proceed with the confidence that he's heard you. He's on the job. And he's either going to resolve it or he's going to give you the grace to endure and thrive through it. Last thing tonight. Some of us, maybe not us, but people that we know, they become defined by their complaints. And every time you see them, or many times you see them, you know what they're going to complain about. And it becomes such a part of who they are that it begins to define them. What they complain about defines them. And it almost gets to a point where they do not want a resolution, because this complaint has become so much of who they are. And when you ask them, you know, how do you want this resolved? They don't want to give you an answer because they don't want to stop. They don't want to stop complaining about whatever that is. So here's the choice that you and I have. We can be defined by our complaints, or we can be defined by our confidence. We can be defined by our complaints, or we can be defined by our confidence. And as a follower of Christ, let me encourage you tonight to be defined by your confidence, not by your complaints. And this all points to what Jesus did for us. If we look back through this psalm, we realize that we are separated from God because of our sin. A lot of us went through a lot of our life, maybe years or even decades, where we didn't realize that our sin separated us from our Heavenly Father. And then at some point, maybe in a service like this or in the sanctuary or at another church or at a conversation with a friend, all of a sudden we realized that our sin separated us from our Heavenly Father. And with our voice, we cried out to him, Father, I realize that I'm in trouble. I realize there's a problem here. So I'm crying out to you. And maybe you've seen that the world has its victories and business deals and awards and achievements and military wins and sports. But no matter how many of these trophies we have, there's a loneliness without God. And we're reaching out. We're reaching out. We're reaching out. We've tried to fill that with relationships with other people. But we come to realize that there is a relationship in our life that cannot be filled by another person and can only be filled by our loving Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. And like David said in this psalm, our sin can become like a prison. It could be addiction, rebellion, or dark secrets that no one else knows about. And we realize that it's too much for us to overcome on our own. David realized that what he was facing, he could not overcome this on his own. And so you and I, we each need an intervention from our Heavenly Father. And he loved us so much that he did that for us. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Fully God, fully man, never committed a sin, pure, perfect, holy. And he died on the cross for me and for you so that you and I could have everlasting life. Remember, David said he felt like he was in captivity. He felt like he was in prison. Many of you know this. Jesus said this, I have come to set the captive free. I'm going to invite you right now to just go ahead and close your eyes and just begin to right now just have a personal moment between you and your Heavenly Father. And reflect on how this teaching tonight has touched your own life. Perhaps it's given you a check in your spirit because you've been pouring out complaints on other people that were supposed to be directed to your Heavenly Father. Or maybe tonight you would be the person who's ready to cry out to your Heavenly Father because you realize that your sin has separated you from him. And tonight is the night that you want to make things right. Tonight is the night that you want to cry out for that freedom that comes from Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Tonight is the night that you realize that there is a relationship that cannot be filled by any other human being. It can only be filled by your loving Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. So tonight, if you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, if tonight you would like to say, this is my beginning of my relationship with my Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, tonight is the night that I want freedom from my sin, I want freedom from my rebellion, tonight is the night that I'm going to declare that for the rest of my life, I'm going to pursue Jesus, I'm going to try to live more like him tomorrow than today. If tonight is the night that you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, just between you and me right now, would you just raise up a hand and look at me? Who would like to give their life to Jesus tonight? Who would like to give their life to Jesus tonight? Thank you. Thank you. If that's you tonight, all you have to do is in your own voice, your own words. It's not a magical set of words. You just say, Father, tonight I realize that my rebellion and my sin has separated me from you. And I don't want to live like that anymore. I invite you, Father, to come into my life, to change me, to wash me, to make me clean. Tonight, Father, I receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. And tonight, I declare that I'm going to live the rest of my life for Jesus, with him as my Lord. Father in heaven, we come to you in that name of Jesus Christ. Father, maybe we came in here tonight realizing or thinking, we came in here tonight thinking that it was all complaining was sinful. It's my prayer tonight, Father, that as we've studied your word, that we realize that complaining, when we understand complaining, as looking at what life is right now and having that sense that what's going on in our life or what's going on in our city, what's going on in our nation, what's going on in the world, when we look at the world and we'd say, what's actual is so much less than what's expected or what we thought, where we thought things would be heading, that those are complaints that you actually want us to not just suppress and hide or dump on our friend. You actually want us, Father, to bring those complaints to you. And Father, tonight we realize that no one is in a better position to manage the resolution of those complaints than you. Father, you know all the complaints that are represented in this room. You know everything in this room where there is a difference between the actual and the expected in families, in workplaces, in neighborhoods, in politics. Father, you know all the gaps. And Father, tonight we're here to declare that we trust that you're already on the job. Father, we look forward to the resolution that you're going to bring, and we stand ready to be your witnesses. And Father, if you're telling us tonight, not yet, I need you to hang in there for a little while longer, or maybe a lot while longer. Father, if you need us to hang out there in that place for weeks, months, possibly even years, Father, I pray that you would give us the grace and the mercy and the compassion to see it through. And Father, tonight I say thank you for new life in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. I ask a blessing over each one. Father, I pray that we as a community would be drawn closer to you and that we would be closer to each other as we begin and continue to direct our complaints to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for the Life Together podcast this week. It's even better when we get to see you in person. Life is best lived in community. You're invited to join us on Wednesday evening here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. We are a church that exists to reach our world for Christ as we lead people just like you to discover and become who God created you to be. Find us online at oakcreekag.org/life.